Welcome to everyone. It's great to have you all here for this beautiful and powerful night of Holy Thursday, the Mass of the Lord's Supper, and it's a joy to see all of you here. I also want to just welcome my dear brother deacons. Good to have you here in array. And then we have Father Isidore, our beloved parochial vicar, and then two priests. Father John Nepple, you've seen at Christmas, at the Holy Week's last year, and he's now vice rector at the seminary, so we'll see what happens by next year, Holy Week. Good to have you here, Father John. And Father Miguel Soubrier, who we were in seminary for a long time together, and he's just come down from Steamboat Springs assignment to work in all the different prison facilities in the Archdiocese of Denver, in Metro Denver, as well as all the way from Sterling to Rifle. And so he'll be living at our rectory, and you'll see him occasionally here at the parish as well, and warmly welcomed. When I thought about tonight, I thought of light and darkness, the gathering darkness of the evening, and yet the radiance of Christ there, and how much light can really stand out in the darkness. When I was on my retreat several weeks ago in the Sonoran Desert, you know, to look out into the desert, any source of light just stood out so vividly amidst the darkness. And it reminds me then of this night and the words from the very beginning of the Gospel of John, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And so picture that light out in the darkness, that radiant light and that gulf of darkness. Approach that light. Look more closely at it. And as you get closer and can see it more, it opens, it resolves into seeing Jesus. And seeing Jesus with, as they're called, his own. What a joy to be his own. And we see what this radiance is Jesus loving his own to the end. Loving them through what he establishes on this beautiful and sacred night. You see, Jesus wants his own, and we have the joy to be able to reckon ourselves as part of his own. He wants us to be free, to be truly alive with his life, which is the light of the world, and to live forever in the glory of the Father, and to see him in his glory that he's had since the beginning. There's many ways to look at this night. Even last Sunday, looking at Palm Sunday, I described it as the birth pangs of salvation. But tonight, I'd like to look at this in this year, at the reality of all these good things that Jesus wants to do for his own, all that he wants to give to us. And to do that for us, it requires spiritual warfare. A warfare that only Jesus Christ, true God and true man, can accomplish. And to see this night and the succeeding days as this great battle that our Lord wages for us. I'm not just simply making this up or got this out of a comic book or something like that. Jesus himself, he describes this reality that's going on as warfare. He does that in the Gospel of John in three different statements, kind of surrounding this night and these days. About this very night when he's speaking to his disciples, he says, "The ruler of this world is coming." You know, which may have been a chilling thing for his disciples to hear. Maybe if not for the fact that they're there with Jesus. The ruler of this world, he's coming. You think of the first reading, that first Passover, which prefigured the ultimate fulfillment in this night. Think of this proud Pharaoh. Now it's not the proud Pharaoh of Egypt, but of this world that has dominion here because how we handed that over to him in our fall. This ruler bounding through the darkness to come to try to overcome that light that is there in the world for us. Ensnaring the heart of Judas to induce him to this great betrayal. and in Jerusalem gathering his minions to work out his malice. But the devil doesn't realize what Jesus is actually unleashing on this night and in the next 3 days. Because Jesus is the Lamb. He is the Lamb of God. And he's unleashing our salvation. And so in speaking to his disciples, after talking about the ruler coming, he also says then that the ruler of this world is condemned. And he accomplishes that over the next 3 days, starting from this supper with his disciples. The next day, tomorrow, is Good Friday. And in that day, we see first the onslaught of the enemy, venting himself upon our Lord with all of his malice and worldly power. But in that attack, the enemy is actually conquered through that perfect offering of charity that Jesus makes upon the cross to his Father and for us. And then the next day, Holy Saturday, Jesus descends to the realm of the dead. In the letter to the Hebrews, it describes what he accomplishes. It says he descends to the realm of the dead, he dies, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. And then on that third day, Resurrection Sunday, God's ultimate power and his ultimate love, which is greater than death, is then manifested in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is now the Lord of both the dead and the living. And it inaugurates the beginning of this new creation through Jesus Christ. And in that, Jesus describes that as well in the Gospel of John, saying, "Therefore, the ruler of this world is cast out." This is the reality of the spiritual warfare that Jesus Christ, in the will of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit, has launched and accomplished for us. On this night, it all begins, and Jesus gives his own, whom he loves to the end, such important and beautiful gifts. He gives us the Eucharist as a sacrifice and meal, a sacrifice and meal of a new and everlasting covenant. And through this gift of the Eucharist, that is the way that he can uniquely be with his own fully in body, blood, soul, and divinity, to be with the ones like us that he loves to the end. And so then through that, through our encounter with him, receiving him, we also receive then always, again and again, the grace, the power of his cross and resurrection, the victory of his warfare. But then also this night, Jesus gives us weapons of spiritual warfare as well, that we would take those up for the kingdom of God. And looking at what he does this night, I think there's some very prominent weapons that he gives us, weapons for life. The first is, he not only gives us himself in the Eucharist, he gives us our worship through the Eucharist. We are here to receive Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. But not only that, first, we're here to praise God through Jesus Christ, the acceptable worship that God has given us, uniting our prayers, our voices, our hearts, lifting them up, not on our own in some feeble and limited way, but through Jesus Christ, our high priest. And he gives that to us tonight, this praise of God, which is so powerful and ultimate and in the end eternal. And he gives us as well in our Eucharistic worship the power to intercede for the church and for the world. Again, not simply out of our own authority or excellence or anything like that, but through the blood of the Lamb, through the high priest of the new covenant, Jesus Christ our Lord, we ask and are given to ask all things through him. That is a great and beautiful and powerful thing. And then another weapon of spiritual warfare, if we can call it that, is the reality how he institutes holy orders, a second sacrament on this same night. The beauty of holy orders and the reality of the priesthood, that there would be these ministers there always of his body and blood, and all that they would be called to do. But then also, I think for us, there's simply the broader reality that we are all given a calling in Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ and his kingdom would be the ultimate purpose of our life, the ultimate goal and intent of our activities, our desires, and people who are truly committed to the will of God the Father are like arrows in the quiver of the Lord. And then Jesus also gives us this great gift of charity and how he loves his Father to go through all of this in loving obedience to the Father, and how he loves his own, us, to the end with a divine love that is not ephemeral and passing, easily cowed by suffering, but instead is cruciform, a love that conquers death, a love that overturns fear and malice and division. The Lord gives us that. He feeds us that tonight and every time in the Eucharist. And then a final weapon so repugnant to the enemy that he gives us is humility. The great example of humility that Christ shows to us in the washing of his servants' feet, of stooping so low, you know, that stooping so low to his servants' feet, to his servants' feet, really, he's the master, but now he acts as servant. That's an image for everything that God does in Jesus Christ. To come so low in the washing, to come into people's frailty and weakness and mess. And he bids us to do likewise. And maybe also, like Peter, a second lesson that follows from that of humility is the humility to receive that washing of God's love, to recognize how much I need that, and nothing else can replace it. And I need that washing of his love, and I'm open to that right in the heart of my weakness. These, my brothers and sisters, are some of these great weapons of warfare that our Lord has given us. He has struck the decisive blow. He has won for us the victory, but he wishes for his kingdom to extend in every age and place, and he refuses to do that without us. Jesus' hour has come, and we ponder that this evening. Let us in that treasure how we have the incredible gift of being his own, of truly belonging to him, and how he wants to love us to the end. And let us use all that he has given us for God's glory, rejoicing in all that he leaves with us, rejoicing at how he is always with us.